Hey folks, it's Brian Cook, your host here with a few words from this week's sponsor, Kensington Publishing. Legendary New York Times bestselling author Kat Martin is back with an all-new series of hot action romance. Into the Fury is the first installment in the Boss Inc. series featuring the elite team of private investigators who are both hard-hitting and hot stuff. When a group of elite fashion models are the subjects of random brutal attacks, Boss Inc. is on the job to protect them from the ruthless mastermind behind the killings. Ethan Brody learned the hard way that beauty is no substitute for character. So even though model Valentine Hart is one of the most breathtaking women he's ever seen, he's keeping his hands off and his eyes open. Or that's what he tells himself. Into the Fury by Kat Martin is available now wherever books are sold and at kensingtonbooks.com.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 158 of the Competitive Erotic Fanfiction Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Cook, and you've found the internet's number one most trusted source for Muppet boners and horny loners. Upcoming shows include February 21st at the Virgil. That's it for now. Today we've got round two from a show recorded on November 15th, 2015, also at the Virgil, featuring Joe Dosh, David Van Huysen, and Stephen Wilbur reading pieces they wrote based upon audience suggestions. First you'll hear them draw topics, and then we'll fast forward into the future to hear the finished pieces. Enjoy.
All right, if I can get those suggestions, please welcome your round two competitors who'll be writing based upon your suggestions, Joe Dosh, David Van Huysen, and Stephen Wilbur, ladies and gentlemen. Clap your hands. Thanks, buddy. All the way to the stage. Thanks, fellas. All right, here's how this part works. We're going to start with Joe Dosh. Clap your hands for Mr. Joe Dosh. If Joe likes the first suggestion, he can take it and run with it. If he doesn't, I will draw a second one, but then you guys will all vote with your applause on which one Joe has to write.
I was kind of looking forward to laser eye surgery. I don't know.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Your first option is Curious George. How do you feel about that?
I'm feeling strong, but I would like to see the second.
All right. Your second option is Aladdin.
Bald solid.
Who wants to hear Curious George by a round of applause?
Yeah!
Aladdin.
There
Aladdin it is. Joe Dosh. Keep it going for Mr. David Van Huysen. David, your first option is Wayne's World.
I like that one, but yeah, I'll see the other one.
All right. Option number two, Bob Dylan. Who wants to hear Wayne's World? Who wants to hear Bob Dylan?
Yeah.
All right, Huysen, there you go, sir, and keep it going for your final round two competitor, Mr. Stephen Wilbur. Your first option is Lamb Chop.
I'll see what the other one is.
All right. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is your second option. We have a room full of five-year-olds. Who wants to hear Lamb Chop?
Five-year-olds in 1960.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I'm giving that to Rudolph. Stephen Wilbur, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Let him hear it. And please clap your hands for Joe Dosh.
Want to make sure you're bringing me on. First of all, this is the second time I've done this show, and I'm vaguely concerned you all are going to realize what I jerk off to. So the show is nothing if not revealing. So I had Aladdin. Brian, do you have anything else to say?
No, take it away, man.
All right, everyone. Here is my competitive erotic fan fiction about the lovely Disney film Aladdin. Here we go. With all due respect, Jafar, couldn't we just wait for a real storm? Iago screeched from the fuck swing his nubile parrot body had been writhing in for the past 6 hours. Save your breath, Iago! Faster! Cried Jafar as Iago writhed his body over Jafar's cock, his tiny bird anus working Jafar's shaft like a toothless Arabian rug salesman gumming a piece of hard candy. Iago's body was encased entirely in black vinyl, save for a hole around the rectum with the words "Take a load off, master," written in ancient Arabic above it, and a funnel around the face for his master to urinate into. A loyal sidekick Iago was, ready to provide his master release from any and all fluids built up inside of him. Jafar's sexual release with his parrot sidekick was more than simply carnal in nature. It was a way to recharge the ancient arcane magics he would need to conquer the kingdom of Agrabah. Furthermore, he was tired of pretending to be attracted to Jasmine, as not even the prepubescent children watching this film bought for a second that Jafar was straight. He knew for his plan to usurp the throne of the political marriage to Jasmine to succeed, he had to remain deeply closeted. He had heard whisperings of many referring to Scar from Pride Rock as the Lion Queen. Just then, Aladdin burst into the room, scimitar in hand, ready to fight the evil Jafar and banish the usurper from the kingdom of Agrafar. Jafar, the sorcerer, disappeared in a puff of acrid purple smoke. "Are you afraid to face me, you unwashed, shit-stained butt plug?" "Butt plug, am I? I'll show you how butt-plug-like I can be." The Grand Vizier transformed into a giant rectal plug and plunged himself into Aladdin's asshole. He knew the great Prince Ali to be a fraud, and if he could bring him to orgasm through anal stimulation alone, the people of the kingdom of Agrabah would know Aladdin for a bottomless, bonerless bottom bitch, leaving no competitor to his alpha mask top domination of all the kingdom. Aladdin began to stroke his own cock in violation of his daddy's alpha dominance. "Only masked doms get to use their shafts for pleasure. Hands off your clit, street rat." But Jafar's magic was not strong enough to keep his faggot slut's hands from stroking himself. If his bitch boy Aladdin would not submit, his grasp over Agrabah would never hold. He moaned in pre-orgasmic delight and cried out, "Genie, for my third wish, I will take your golden manacles and chain them on my bottom boy's wrists so he can never again stroke his naughty nub." Genie, to fulfill the wish he was bound by ancient magic to grant, removed his golden manacles, but Aladdin had tricked his Semitic leather daddy. Genie was now free. Genie emerged from Jafar's crotch as Jafar's second wish was to turn Genie into a vibrating cock ring buzzing around his member throughout eternity. Genie banished Jafar into a golden popper's bottle and banished him into the desert until the day that some lonely desert wanderer discovered it and wished to ease the tension of his anal integrity. The genie embraced Aladdin, olive and date-scented lube leaking from his puckering anus, and said, "You did it, Al. No matter what anybody says, you'll always be a top to me." That's great. Thanks, everybody.
Joe Nosh.
Thanks, Joe.
Stephen Wilbur.
Rudolph Knights. A spanking ass production. Like Rankin Bass. You get it. You know Gasher and Flasher and Asser and Friskin. Cummin and Poop Dick and Donger and Fistin. But do you recall the horniest reindeer of them all? Rudolph the red-dicked reindeer had a very throbbing dick. And if you ever saw it, you couldn't help but have a wick, like fellatio. All of the other reindeer used to fight to have a taste, like a bread line. They never thought that Rudolph could lay their buttholes all to waste, like an auger. Then one sexy Christmas Eve, Santa came over to Rudolph's moderately priced loft apartment. "Hey," said Santa. "Hey," said Rudolph. "I'm really nervous," said Santa. "Don't be," said Rudolph. "I'm not going to tell the missus." "No, it's not that," Santa shuffled his feet. "It's just, this is my first time, and I just want to be good. Good for you." Rudolph kissed Santa hard on the mouth. "Hey, you've been delivering presents for hundreds of years. It's time for you to get a gift. Sit down." Santa plopped down in Rudolph's Ektorp chair that he just got from IKEA. Rudolph began to dance for Santa, swaying his barely legal deer hips back and forth, periodically dipping to give Saint Nick's ever-growing boner a taste of his fuzzy deer tuft. I want you, said Santa. I know, said Rudolph. Santa sprung from the Ektorp and bent Rudolph over his Carmichael dining room table he got from Pier 1. Santa slid Rudolph's yoga pants off while quickly unbuckling his own bright red trousers. Santa used a candy cane he'd been sucking on to lube up Rudolph's milk dud factory. Then proceeded to put his North Pole in Rudolph's South Hole. The reindeer bleated with delight as his front hooves clacked against classy yet affordable mahogany. Santa grabbed Rudolph's antlers to assist in his nightly delivery. Then Rudolph turned and locked eyes with the jolly fat man. I've been a bad little boy this year. Stuff me with your coal. Without missing a beat, Santa stuffed his two rosy testicles in Rudolph's wanton rump, gift wrapping Santa's entire package. Then Santa flipped Rudolph around and gave him a taste of his chocolate-covered Yule log. Then went back to the ass. Then went to the ear for a little bit. Then back to the mouth. Then ass again. It was really impressive how Santa could have went to so many places in one night. Now do me, blurted Santa. Rudolph complied and put his cock-hard deer schlong in Santa's hickory farm, pumping as aggressively as Yukon Cornelius navigating the Great White North. Santa's ass shook like a bowl full of jelly. Oh, I'm gonna come, said the reindeer. You ready? Okay, Rudolph, full power, commanded Santa. Then Rudolph blasted a Burl-Ives-sized amount of sticky white cum in Santa, which then caused the sheer amount caused his cum to be forced out of his dick, much like Black Friday shoppers going into a Walmart. And they both came all over the loft apartment as Santa shouted out in glee, Rudolph the red-dicked reindeer, you'll go down in history. Thank you very much.
Stephen Wilbur. Where's David Van Huysen, your final competitor. Let him hear it.
All right, so Bob Dylan. How many loads must a man choke down before you call him a man? Mused Einstein disguised as Robin Hood, wiping his mouth with the back of his hand he knew so well. I don't know, the curly-haired 20-year-old Minnesotan said, zipping up his jeans. But I like the way you phrased that question, man, as a strong wind howled outside. Maybe the answer was right there, in the wind, Einstein said. I didn't buy your mouth to hear your musings, said Robert Zimmerman. Now give me a rim job. I'm going to need a clean butthole before I get to New York City. This was the first thing that popped into Bob Dylan's head when a nerdy journalism student from Columbia University asked him, where did it all start for you, Bob? Bob didn't say that. Bob took a long puff off his cigarette and said, oh man, it's got to be Woody Guthrie. Woody Guthrie, the writer of This Land Is Your Land, the man who inspired Bob Dylan, the man Bob Dylan came to New York to meet. But by the time he got there, Woody was suffering from Huntington's disease in a New York hospital. Bob went to visit him with his guitar in hand and started playing songs for Woody, who was, as far as he could tell, unconscious. Bob was about halfway through the Ballad of Billy the Kid when Woody's eyes slowly opened and he said, stop playing for me, boy, and play a song for me, Mr. Tambourine Man. What was that? Bob asked. Masturbate for me, said Woody Guthrie. You got it, boss, said Bob, as the young folk singer slid down his pants and started revisiting Highway 61. rubbing it. It was a slow train coming, and he wasn't sure he could bring it all back home. How does it feel? How does it feel? Asked Woody. Strange, like I'm a Jewish man recording an album of Christmas songs, said Bob, stroking so hard that he'd fear there'd be blood on the tracks when this was all said and done. Oh, mercy, said Woody. Your hand getting tired, boy? It is, Bob said, deflated. Well, my hand is your hand, said Woody Guthrie, extending his near-dead hand that had played with Pete Seeger towards the young boy's throbbing member. Bob walked nervously towards Woody. Don't think twice. It's all right, said Woody, grasping at the young man's junk as if it was a song about the Dust Bowl. When the hand of the legend grasped the tallywhacker of the would-be voice of the 60s, the earth shook, as did Bob's legs. When Woody's sandpaper hand started rubbing on the shaft of Dylan's penis, he went electric. As he exploded like a hurricane all over Woody Guthrie's face, there was no shelter from the semen. Woody's face was completely covered. He licked his lips once and died. Woody Guthrie, huh? Said the young reporter. Yeah, Woody. He was a master, said Dylan, puffing once more on a cigarette. Outside in the distance, a wildcat did growl. Two riders were approaching, and Bob Dylan desperately wanted to come.
David Van Huysen. Let's get everybody from round two back to the stage.
Here's Steven. I think Joe had to split for another show. So, all right.
Disqualified. No, he's not. So once again, we had Joe Dosh with Aladdin, then Stephen Wilbur with Rudolph, and David Van Huysen with Bob Dylan. Pick a favorite with your applause, starting with Joe Dosh Aladdin. Stephen Wilbur, Rudolph. And David Van Huysen, Bob Dylan. Well, it's convenient that it's a tie between the two people that are standing on stage. Fuck Joe Dosh. Let's do that one more time. Pick a favorite, really sell it for them. Stephen Wilbur, Rudolph. Yeah! David Van Huysen, Bob Dylan. By a nose, that's Stephen Wilbur with Rudolph. Get it? He had a red nose. Ah, I'm really good at this. Guys, this has been Competitive Erotic Fan Fiction. You've been great. Give it up for your staff here at the Virgil. We do this the third Sunday of every month. Next month, December.
That does it for round two. To hear round one from this show, you can go back and download episode 157. And if you like what you heard, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. It's a big help, as are positive comments. For details on upcoming shows, you can follow me on Twitter at Brian Cooking or the show at CE Fanfic. See you next time.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.